This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Thank you. Please be seated. The Prodigal Son. It's my favorite story. It may be yours. I think it's the best story that Jesus ever told. And there's a bishop in Atlanta who agrees with me. His name is Rob Wright. And I heard a podcast, really well done podcast by him the other day as I was getting prepared. And he says this story is really, really about empathy, right? And when the questioner in the podcast was saying, how would you describe empathy? He says, it's how people are feeling in the contours of our lives. Not just sympathy. So, you know, we know when someone dies, we say, my deepest sympathies. But if it's, say, your parent who died and their parent who died, you can actually empathize with that person because you've been there. That's the difference between sympathy and empathy. The deep emotion, right? Because you've been there in that spot. So in this story, we usually focus on definitely the prodigal son, right? And then sometimes the father, but I want to include all three characters. I want to include the elder son today because there are people out there who feel or they empathize with the older son, the elder son. So I want you to kind of just take a moment in your imagination and pick one of the three you most empathize with. You know, which one do you feel the most for in this story? And I think a lot of us, you know, when we were younger and then we got a little bit older, we realized we really were the prodigal son or the daughter. Maybe we wasted time or talent. Definitely not inheritance, because that really doesn't come to maybe when your parents die, right? So it's a weird story that way, but I squandered some time and talent in my younger life. But then after I became a father, it's really easy for me to empathize with the father, right? His point of view. And over time, after hearing this story many, many times, in my heart, I feel like the father knew as soon as he gave his inheritance to that younger son, he knew he was going to blow it, right? I mean, we even see it in our lives of, you know, younger people. If they get a chunk of money, say like at 18, and I just happened to have a mediation this week. And it was a terrible accident, but the father, the rich father, had given his son this really kind of souped up BMW, the one with lots of power. And sure enough, the young man drove 120 miles on the turnpike and then crashed into somebody that was going kind of the normal speed. And his passenger was ejected and died. 18 years old, so it was really sad. And then there were five other people, because there were other people in the car, young people, and they all saw their friend on the side of the road dead, right? So they're all like PTSD, and luckily they're young, and then, you know, come back physically, but it's gonna take a while for them to get through that image that's in their brain of their 18-year-old friend. But back to the gospel. This open up your imagination, and the Bishop Wright of Atlanta asked the questions like, what must it be like to be the prodigal son, right? The story gives us some clues. He's starving. He's living with pigs. And in that culture, if you're a Jew, you can't even touch a pig. It's verboten, right? You become impure. But this kid's living with the pigs, right? And he's saying, oh, well, I'd even eat their food, their pods. And so he's begging people to give him a job, and finally he realizes, he says he comes to himself and realizes, my father's servants are eating bread and some to spare. I'll just go back to my father. He realizes, right? I'll go back to my father and just be a hired hand. I'll live better than what I'm doing here, right? And then the next, we must be kind of like the father who sees this young son just coming up the driveway, skinny, dirty, smelly, doesn't even have shoes. And he runs out there, hugs and kisses his son, right? And then orders a coat and a ring and then the fatted calf to be, you know, roasted for dinner. And they go into the party moment. The way, he doesn't tell his older son this is happening. It's kind of weird, but side issue. But then, I mean, they're all ecstatic. And then the father goes from this super happy moment to the elder son coming in just spitting anger and fire and resentment. And says, you know, I've worked for you like a slave. I've been the solid citizen of this house. And he says, but when this son of yours, not my brother, not my blank brother, this son of yours has devoured your property with prostitutes. You kill the fatted calf. You give him all the glory. This son of yours. And then what does the father do? You're always with me. You have everything. What's mine is yours, etc. And because this brother of yours, right, was dead and came back to life, he's lost. Come be with us. You think the father convinced the older son? But he's pulling this angry, recalcitrant, righteous son to be repaired, both repair and pair them again. It's asking his older son to have empathy for this brother of his. He's come back to life, etc. Which leads us to the older son. What's it like to be the older son? The one who always worked hard, the one that always does things right. Who identifies with this character? And it made me think of another story. We all know Mary and Martha. Mary sits at Jesus' feet. She even gets praise for it. Martha's the one that's getting dinner ready and cleaning up the house and getting it all prepared, right? And every time we do that story, my wife and then other folks come up to me and say, Martha's doing all the work. What the frick? Why is this girl just sitting at Jesus' feet? Why did he praise them? And, you know, who's cooking dinner and, you know, moving the pots and pans and cleaning up after and all that? So the older son really is that hard-working, solid citizen, right? And Martha gets things done, and so does the older son. So there's something to that good son that always stuck around, right? And did all the hard work and worked like a slave for his own dad, as he's saying. Maybe it's a little exaggeration. But how must he feel? How must the elder son feel seeing this freeloading son of yours come back, right? And you reward him. Dad, don't do it. He'll just scam you again. I mean, that's what he's thinking. And you go, you know what? I got to have some empathy for him, too. I was never that guy, but there are people that feel, my wife would be one. She's like, oh, it's the right thing. So Jesus is what? He's telling this story. He's stretching everybody toward empathy. He's stretching everyone to repair, meaning pair up again. The older brother, the younger brother, repair, restore them, and remember. Remember his family so that they can be all members again, right? And Jesus calls to make community from the very things that divide us. Jesus calls us to make community from the very things that divide us, because there's always going to be division, right? Is there hope to repair a broken family? Is there hope for us to restore a divided church? Is there hope for us to remember our divided country? Yeah, good questions. So Jesus is stretching everyone in this story. Repair, restore, and remember. Jesus is always calling us to do more than we want to do. Amen.